Utah Grizzlies hockey, it's just fun. Follow the Utah Grizzlies on Facebook for the latest on weekend home games, or visit utahgrizzlies.com for more. Utah Grizzlies hockey, it's just fun.
I'm Henry Glasheen, Slug's Digital Content Coordinator, and you're listening to Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, covering music, lifestyle, arts, and events. On this episode, we're going to be talking about the current Utah jazz season with Mike Brown and Levi Rounds. Mike Brown has been a writer and columnist for Slug for basically forever. I mean, I guess it was over a decade. Levi Rounds was a former Slug writer and current stand-up comedian in the Salt Lake City comedy scene. Both men are major fans of the Utah Jazz, through good times and bad, and can talk trash with the best of them when it comes to the team. Today, Mike and Levi sit down with a couple of beers in our podcast studio and talk about the season so far and where the team is headed.
Just to kind of pick up where I guess I left off, me and Dan Nealon used to do we'd only do it every couple months, but we'd do a Utah jazz podcast because apparently Dan really liked the jazz and he had some clout around the Slug offices in regards to the podcast, so he would just bring me in and we'd just talk shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
So I thought I would bring in Levi Rounds, who, number one, likes to talk. And
I do like to talk.
And also likes the jazz.
It's true.
And that's about it. I mean, unless you need to introduce yourself in any other way, Levi Rounds.
No, it's just me.
Okay. I mean, you know, we'll link it to the social media and see what happens. So anyway, welcome to Mike Brown and Levi Rounds' jazz podcast. I don't think we really have a name for it since it's a Slug podcast.
Yeah.
But it's 1 in the afternoon. We have our tall boys. I have a bagel.
I wish you could smoke in here. Probably get to the jazz.
Yeah, let's get to the jazz.
Now that we're 3 minutes
into this important. Keep in mind, Levi, that this podcast does come out in a few weeks as opposed to right away. So even though we are talking about jazz, there's always kind of I think it's kind of what makes this podcast fun is there's a little bit of forecasting that we can do. I have my own season predictions, but based off of the season so far, this has maybe kind of been a season of surprises. Well, it's kind of a mouthful.
I feel like the biggest one, and it may not even be that big, is Gobert is just a monster.
By far.
He's just great.
By far.
Maybe the most improved player in the league. Maybe.
He's in the running.
Yeah. Top three, at least, of most improved players in the league.
I can't think of who else stepped up their game like that.
Jimmy Butler?
Maybe Jimmy. Well, yeah, Jimmy Butler probably won it. He just got that huge-ass contract.
Yeah.
He's a dick, though.
Yeah, but I don't know. They don't usually give out awards based on attitude shit like that.
I thought out of everything Enes Kanter is done or not done... And Rudy Gobert, like, kind of seeing the moment, taking advantage of it. I thought kind of the telltale sign of Rudy kind of making his presence known in the league was in that Chicago game where Joaquin Noah shoved him.
Okay.
I was like, all right.
That makes sense. That's kind of, I like Joaquin Noah.
I do,
and that's
too.
Like a big sign, that's probably a sign of respect around the league is Joaquin Noah is pissed because this guy's fucking owning
and
me right now.
And he shoved you. It's almost like some weird rite of passage. Like, you're not doing good if he doesn't shove you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And they're both French.
That's true. I didn't know Joaquin Noah was French, actually.
Well, he's half French. His dad's French.
Okay.
His dad was like some French tennis player that married like some like Norwegian supermodel.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, and spawned a super baby.
Rough life.
Yeah, right? Rough life for sure.
No, I think that's my favorite part of the Jazz this year so far is Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, it's definitely setting a defensive tone has been needed.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of shit is contagious in a basketball team where, like, one guy is playing defense. I feel like that's the only way to get the rest of the guys to play defense as much as they talk about it, as much as a coach tells you.
That's true. Well, Favors busted his ass on defense, but he was the only one there for a while. When Kanter was in, he never played any defense.
He was the only one, but the thing with Rudy, and I don't know if he actually is like this, but he always looks pissed.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he's got one of those permafros. It's just always like, bleh. But he always looks like you just fucking stepped on his cat or something.
Yeah. What about, do you think it's time for the Dante Exum experiment?
No, I
really?
Don't. Well, I think the experiment's already in progress.
I just mean starting him.
No.
Giving him a shit ton of minutes because they're not going to the playoffs.
No, they're not going to the playoffs, but I think he's so young. If he was a year older, I'd say yes. If we're talking this time next year, yes. Yeah. But I think he needs to kind of see what's happening on the court and then go do it and have like those coaches and assistant coaches sit by his skinny little ass right now and be like, hey, man, you see what Trey just did? You have to do that. And I don't think Trey's like phenomenal.
I like Trey. Like, because he's a goddamn idiot and he showed his dick to the world.
That was funny. Did you see those, by the way?
No, I didn't. I didn't even
bother. I looked
at
him.
How were they? Is he all right?
Yeah, I mean, it's normal.
It's an all right looking dick.
It was an all right looking dick. Uh-huh. I didn't think it was a big deal.
I just thought it was...
Zing, get it? Big deal.
Bam.
Oh, sorry.
I just thought it was hilarious. Because you know that they have to put him through like that whole rookie orientation thing. Like, this is how you don't show your dick to the world.
Do you think they bring that up in the rookie symposium now?
I would imagine that they do. Like, this is how to work social media.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of girls around. Don't show your dick to the world.
Don't send selfies. They will pop up on your Twitter feed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they do that. And he went, ah, fuck it. Everybody wants to see my dick.
Yeah, right. He's not running for mayor anytime soon. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, who cares?
I thought it was funny how the Jazz, like, the higher-ups made him apologize for it and stuff. He's like, it won't happen again. Who knows, though? That girl that got the dick pics was probably, number one, like, super happy to get an athlete's pro wiener pics.
Yeah.
And probably tried to exploit him somehow.
Probably. Hopefully, remember years and years ago when all the basketball players were fucking the underage girls? Hopefully she was of age, like, legal. I'm sure she was.
And then it could end up like a Birdman situation. Remember that?
Yeah, except he was... Wasn't that just all a big lie and he had to get, like, authorities
involved? Well, yeah, apparently
there's
some girl that was trying to bang him. We're talking about Chris Anderson, the annoying tattooed white fucker on the Miami Heat.
Yeah, he was on Denver forever.
He was on Denver forever, and Denver finally let him go. He had a meth problem, conquered that, got back in the league. It was kind of a feel-good story. He was in the slam dunk contest years ago and just failed miserably. It's hilarious. YouTube that footage. That's worth a 5-minute laugh out loud. But anyway, yeah, there was some girl that she was holding, trying to extort money out of him. And so she called the police on him saying that she was underage when she actually wasn't or something. It was something weird like that. And then he got clear and like accused him of being like a pedophile and all sorts of shit. So Denver lets him go. That's how he ended up in Miami, because Denver let him go because of all that shit.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He got extorted, basically.
Yeah, and then it turned out that none of it was true. And I was like, wow, fuck you, ho. Yeah. But no, Trey Burke, back to my original point about Dante Exum. I think he needs Trey Burke.
I can see both sides of it. I wouldn't be mad if they decided to start him. Trey Burke, like I said, I like the guy. He's not like really good team starter point guard material.
No, he's not. He's a second year player.
He's too slow and he's too small to guard the elite guards in the league.
He wouldn't be a starter on a lot of teams in the NBA.
No.
But for the most part, when the ball's in his hands, coming up the floor, he makes the right decision. Not always, but for the most part, he's pretty good at making those pretty simple decisions that point guards need to make, or seemingly simple. And he is pretty fucking clutch when time's running down. He's, for whatever reason, goes into some sort of...
Yeah, he's like Kemba Walker, but super light. Super light Kemba Walker. Like, because when he was playing for Michigan, I loved the guy because he carried that team.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun to watch him. A lot like Kemba Walker did with UConn. But he's fun to watch. He is clutch. The guy, he, like, knows how to win. He's got that thing in him, which is great. But I see so much good happening with Exum. Like, Exum reminds me of a Penny Hardaway.
I fully agree. I think he'll be there, but I think he needs to watch that shit from someone. And we don't have any other point guard on our team, literally. Ian Clark? Yeah, right.
The best point guard on our team is Hayward.
Yeah, exactly. And first, we need like kind of a real point guard to show Dante what is up, because this time last year, he was still playing fucking high school kids.
Yeah.
So that's the true. Only reason why, like, next year, yeah, start him, get rid of Trey. But this year, I'm saying we need that guy. Like, if we had, say, Mo Williams still instead of Trey Burke, I think that would be the ideal situation. No one he's not great, but he's stuck around in this league for, you know,
that's
10
true.
Years because he knows how to play the position well enough.
Yeah, just, they should trade for some fucking, like, Andre Miller or something. Some old
ass. Is Earl Watson still playing? Yeah, someone like that.
Some old ass grizzly veteran point guard that knows exactly how to play the game and knows his spot. He was like, no, I'm showing the young guy. That's my job.
That just knows not to do the stupid shit.
Yeah.
Because without, the closest thing we have to that is Trey Burke.
Yeah.
And which kind of sucks to say.
Sad.
It is sad
because we're a year and a half.
Yeah.
He's our grizzly fucking veteran.
He's at that position. Yeah. It's fuck. It's kind of funny. I'm kind of baffled that the Jazz didn't do more with the point guard position.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah.
But speaking of which, who knows? Okay. By the time this podcast comes out, there really could be a trade in the Utah Jazz lineup. The trades are always very hard to forecast because the Jazz front office is so tight-lipped about trades. They always just come out of fucking nowhere.
Nobody knew about that Deron Williams trade until the morning it happened.
Nobody knew when we got Kyle Korver. I mean, I feel like every trade that the Jazz have made with Kevin O'Connor, you know, pulling the levers, you just fucking wake up one morning and there it is. And sometimes you're like, oh shit, that's awesome. And sometimes you don't know what to think. Like when we got Kyle Korver for Gordon Gierczak, I just about jizzed in my pants.
Oh yeah.
I was like, wow, we got something
for fucking nothing.
For nothing. And then we let him go. Dumbasses.
Yeah, that was
stupid.
Oh, it was dumb.
But that being said, I have a mild prediction on Enes Kanter. I think he's trade bait.
Yeah, I think he's got to be signing trade bait. Nobody's going to trade for him the summer before restricted free agency.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing for a contract this year. He's trying to get money. But why don't we trade him? I would like to get, like I just said, a veteran point guard to show Dante the ropes and eventually get ready to get rid of Trey Burke.
I wouldn't have a problem with a veteran point guard and some draft picks because we're still in rebuilding mode.
Yeah, and you can always use draft picks. That's the thing. If you get your draft picks, like what Danny Ainge is doing, gutting his team and getting amazing draft picks, he's making Phil Jackson in New York look like a dumbass.
Yeah.
But it's the right move.
Yeah, that's true.
But
I could see that. I like Enes Kanter, I really do, but I think Gobert's better.
I do too. Do you follow Enes's Twitter?
It used to be so funny.
Yeah, I think he got it talking to.
Yeah.
He used to post pictures of him like with doing stupid shit, like being at the Playboy Mansion with the bunny ears on and shit.
Yeah, and he used to sit at the Cheesecake Factory downtown and tweet out, any hot blondes want to come meet me at the Cheesecake Factory? Which is hilarious. It's fucking funny.
That's
awesome. So I like him. I think that they were thinking he was going to turn into a Marc Gasol.
He still might.
I don't know about that.
Well, not Marc Gasol, but he doesn't play defense.
No, he doesn't.
His offensive game has come together, though.
Yeah, it's coming
together. That's fun to watch, but I think that's where, especially with Gobert playing Goobert, whatever the fuck you want to call him, Goobers. If Goobers keeps playing like the 7'3" monster Mark Eaton 2.0 that he is, and we can get offense out of Derek Favors just fine.
Which we have been. I know this comes out in a few weeks, but the last four games he's averaging 20 and 10.
This is true.
And these are against good teams. He did it against Chicago.
This is true. So I still think Favors has a better upswing than Kanter. I say trade him.
Oh, I agree. Favors is phenomenal. I really like Favors.
Hi, it's me, Bill Allred, and if you haven't been listening to my podcast, The Let's Go Eat Show, here's some of what you've been missing.
Hope Woodside, Channel 13. You've been on that station for 17 years? That's very unprecedented. You and Bob, you have worked with no other partner, is that correct?
Well, in Bob, previous ever? Jobs.
Well, but I mean here.
Not, yeah.
Just
no,
Bob.
No.
Do you hate him yet?
What are you getting?
Download the Let's Go Eat Show now. It's available on iTunes and theletsgoeatshow.com.
What else about this season has caught your attention?
Quinn
Snyder.
I fucking love the guy. I think he's great.
Is it just because of his hair?
those goddamn eyes. Remember the timeout?
They're
where
crooked.
Yeah.
They're weird.
But remember the timeout when he didn't say anything and he just glared at them all? He didn't say a word and he just glared at them all. And this was a full timeout. This was not a 20-second timeout.
Just like a full timeout?
Full
I missed
3 minutes. He just glared at them. Didn't say a word. He gets super pissed. He looks like he used to have a coke habit. We were going to talk about that.
Apparently, also I need to throw this in really quick. I do think he looks like Gollum from Lord of the Rings.
That makes sense.
A little bit.
I can see that.
Okay. Just had to get that out of the way.
Gollum had a little bit of a better life and went to Duke.
Right. And then never got his precious and destroyed the fucking Missouri college program. Oh, yeah, okay.
His precious is basically the sabermetrics of basketball. That's what his precious is.
It's like his clipboard. Okay, for those of you that don't know, Quinn Snyder supposedly is the reason they hired him. Aside from being a brilliant basketball mind, which, you know, knows his basic X's and O's, which you're always worried about when you hire a new coach because Ty Corbin did not know that shit at all. And who knows, Ty was probably a really great assistant coach at developing players and whatnot, but for whatever reason, could not manage game, could not coach game. All indications are that Quinn Snyder knows that shit and can do it.
Seems that way.
And that he's a phenomenal teacher, which you get in the college game a lot. You get a lot of these coaches that could probably never make it in the NBA, but vice versa. Like, there's NBA coaches that could probably never do their job because they're more teaching these kids still. Yeah. They still don't quite know how to play basketball.
Yeah.
And Quinn kind of falls in that category. But apparently, according to the internet, and everything's true on the internet.
That's true.
He had a massive coke problem when he was coaching Missouri, but never got caught. Never. It was all alleged rumors. But here's my favorite. I don't know if you've read this or not. Apparently, while at MSU, And he eventually lost his job because of recruiting violations, is the Cliff Notes version of the story, whether it was him or the dean. The dean resigned. They're saying because of Quinn, he took a lot of heat for it. They hate him in Missouri now, which is fine because there's no NBA team in goddamn Missouri. But apparently he was doing a ton of blow and banging like a ton of fucking college chicks. And one of them, there's a rumor that I read about where he was banging Linus Kleza's girlfriend. And Linus Kleza made it to the NBA, was playing on the team at the time.
Okay.
So that was the rumor, was that he was banging Linus's girlfriend. But the dude's name is Linus.
Yeah.
And the only reason I really know who he is he played for Denver for a while, and he's like a very mediocre NBA player that just went off on the Jazz one night and had like 45 points or something stupid like that.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Linus. And his name's goddamn Linus.
Yeah.
I was like, how did a guy named Linus just light us up for fucking 45 or 48 or whatever it was?
I don't know. Either way, we were talking about this in the car. I kind of miss that about pro sports when people were all fucked up and Joe Namath was drunk half the time he was playing and still was awesome.
Smoking on the bench.
Yeah. Like Jerry Sloan used to smoke in between quarters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I miss that about.
Oh, yeah.
Like, nobody's ever going to throw a perfect game high on acid again.
Nope. It's not going to happen.
So if he has a present cocaine problem, I think that's fucking great. He's a coach. What does it matter?
I don't dabble in the white arts, but I hear the blow in Utah is pretty good. We're pretty close to the border. We got some pretty good blow
in this
town.
Are we close to the border?
Well, I mean, close to the Missouri.
Yeah, I would imagine we have better blow than Missouri.
Yeah, I'd imagine the meth's better in Missouri, but our coke's better here. It's kind of like how the further to the East Coast you get, the Mexican restaurants get worse.
Okay. Yeah,
I know this
sense.
Is like a pretty blatant bad stereotype, but I don't know. You could probably say Jerry Sloan snorted a fair amount of blow in his playing day. Played in the 70s.
That's true.
I mean, how could he not?
Yeah.
It's like the NBA in the 70s and 80s, that's all it was known for, was fucking big dudes fucking doing blow and banging chicks and partying.
You know, I heard that Chris Mullin was a fucking full-blown alcoholic.
Raging
alcoholic, and his down year was the year that he quit.
Yeah. Well, he quit, and then he got really good. And then the story, I just read a book about this, about the Dream Team that he was on. Apparently, Don Nelson, who's another notorious wastoid, got him to quit drinking. Because apparently he wasn't a mean drunk, but he was just out every fucking night partying, drinking. And Don Nelson was like, hey, you gotta quit. and somehow got him to quit. But Don Nelson's like a notorious fucking party animal. Like, how much are you drinking for Don Nelson to tell you? Like,
but also at the same time, if you're a drunk but still on the dream team, when somebody comes to you and goes, "Hey, you need to quit," how do you not go, "Fucking why?"
Right. Yeah, it's not like us. They maybe have a reason.
Like, I would literally, like, I played at St. John's. I was an All-American. I got drafted by the Warriors. I'm averaging 23 points a game. I'm on the dream team. And I'm drunk the whole fucking time. Why do I need to quit?
Yeah. Well, supposedly Michael Jordan's a raging alcoholic these days.
His face swole up like crazy. That makes
sense. Yeah, it looks like it. He's kind of got those, like, yellow eyes, you know? Like, they're still full of booze. All right, so how about this question? Who on the current Jazz roster do you think is most likely to become a raging alcoholic? And based on Quinn Snyder's party background, how would that be handled?
I think it's Trey Burke, because he knows that Dante's going to come up at some point. He knows that's coming.
I don't know. Trey Burke plays that Christian God card a lot.
Does he? Yeah. That's another big reason why that could be him.
Well, okay, that's a good point. That's a good point. I'll just cut out all the European players, because I don't believe that there's such a thing as a European with a drinking problem, because drinking's approached so much different in European culture. So just by default, I would cross off Ennis and Rudy. And do we have any other foreign players right now?
I can't think of anybody.
All right. I don't see Hayward getting super wasted.
No.
I could see, Trevor Booker seems like the kind of dude that would just, like, fucking do blow and then try to fight, like, everyone in the club.
That's true. I could see that.
But, I don't know the guy. I'm just going off of looks and playing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think if that happened, what do you think Quinn would do?
Oh, I have no idea. Not talk about it, because it's frowned upon.
Just bring him to the office and stare at him for 2 minutes
exactly,
straight.
Exactly. 3 straight minutes.
I wish we could take calls on this on a podcast. Yeah.
No shit.
That'd be fun. And then people could call in. It'd be like real sports radio, but with swearing.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to the Jazz game tonight with my mom and my girlfriend.
Jealous.
Yeah.
I'm not
Golden
going
State,
to the
Golden State, they're
going to
get their asses kicked.
But Golden State is fucking fun to watch.
You know what? I'm like an NBA fan, so I don't mind seeing the Jazz, like, get the shit beat out of them.
You know what would be fucking cool? Just on a quick, this has nothing to do with the Jazz, to see a Hawks-Golden State Finals.
It could happen.
The Hawks are fucking good.
I don't know how, but the Hawks, they're legit.
It's because their coach is great, and he comes from that Greg Popovich lineage.
And that coaching tree and everybody.
Which Quinn Snyder
over.
Is a part of.
Right.
And that's one of the big reasons I like him. How can you not like that? How awesome would that be to see a Hawks Golden State Finals? The NBA would fucking hate it, because they always want one of their big teams in it.
Yeah.
And the Thunder might not even make
the
playoffs.
Well, here's the thing. The NBA has no marketable big teams right now. None.
That's true.
None.
That's true.
Aside from the Clippers. Clippers are the only ones. But
yeah.
Lakers suck. New York sucks. Boston sucks.
Chicago.
Chicago's good. But, yeah, I mean, it's so obvious what's going to happen in the East. It's either going to be Atlanta or Chicago. And those are big markets.
The Cavs could pull it together. Depends on the health of LeBron, but they could pull it together. They got a good fucking team. Kyrie is really, really good.
Kyrie Irving. I like Kevin Love. Here's my opinion on LeBron. There's a lot of fucking miles on that car.
That's true.
He's
no Kobe yet.
No, he's no Kobe.
He's still maybe the best player in the league, but there are a lot of miles on that car.
I just don't see, he has played a lot of fucking basketball. He's been to the finals like the last, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
That's too much. Yep. You're going to break down at some point.
Yep.
So I don't see that happening. But yeah, I would love to see that. And then I can say that, I saw Golden State tonight with my mom. And got to see the Splash Brothers. I get to see the best backcourt in the NBA by far.
Yeah.
Watch what we're trying to be. I think if the Jazz were like super good and everyone was at the pinnacle of their career, they would look like what Golden State looks like now. Or that's what they want to look like.
I could see that.
Just amazing backcourt that just fucks everybody up. And then some big dudes that play defense.
Yeah.
So... All right, anything else we should touch on?
I can't think of anything.
All right, well, Levi, thank you for doing this podcast.
Thank you for waking me up at 1 in the afternoon to do a podcast.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right.
Were you taking a nap?
No.
No.
No, I went to bed at like 9 a.m.
Gotcha.
So, that's my day off, so that's what you do.
That's true. All right, well, we're going to go finish our day off, and thank you for listening to the Mike Brown Jazz Podcast Minute.
Woo! Woo!
Thanks for listening to Slug Soundwaves. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Send us suggestions of what you'd like to hear on the show by emailing us at soundwaves@slugmag.com or hit us up on Twitter @SlugSoundwaves. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega, Christian Schultz, and myself, Henry Glashine, and John Ford. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our show's theme was performed by Temples. Our main logo and art design was by Nicholas Dowd, and the technical design was by Kate Colgan. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you'll tune in next week.